really happened with your host, Mike Rivero, because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And joining us for this segment of our program is Patrick Knowlton. Patrick, thank you for spending time with us today.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, I guess probably the best place to begin is right at the beginning. And I think we can thank Donald Trump because he has basically taken the entirety of the Clinton scandals and made them all current events again. He had that comment about the death of Vincent Foster being very, very fishy. As you know, that was the incident that basically ended my career in Hollywood and launched my inadvertent career as a truth activist. So, Patrick, let's start at the beginning. Why don't you tell us what you saw and what happened to you?
Yeah, I'll make it brief here because there's all the other things I'd like to get into, too. But, yeah, so, again, my last name is Knowlton, K-N-O-W-L-T-O-N. I don't know if you knew the proper spelling of my name or not. But yeah, on July 20th, 1993, on my way back to a home in Virginia that I was remodeling, I stopped at Fort Mercy Park to relieve myself. There was two cars in the parking lot. One car was empty. Another car was backed in. I had a man sitting in it, acting very suspicious, kind of like guarding, as my sense later, didn't think that at the time, but my sense later was he was kind of protecting the park. I went in the opposite direction. That guy was where his car was. When I came back down, I heard his car door close. I thought he was out and about somewhere, so I was very cautious. And I came back down. I paid very good attention to the parking lot. I saw this brown Honda. I walked next to the brown Honda, used it as a buffer as I went around it to get into my car. And I looked through the windows. I saw a briefcase on the seat. I saw a suit jacket hanging over the back of the driver's seat. I saw a couple of wine coolers in the back seat. I got in my car. The individual that had been out of their car, then back in their car again, put down their window, just kind of gave me this glaring look, and I just backed out and left. To make a long story short, when I got back to Virginia, which is about a 90-mile drive from where I was, I heard on the news the following night that Vince Foster was found dead at Fort Mercy Park the day before, and lo and behold, I thought to myself, well, I was there, and they said he died at 4:30, and I said, I was there at 4:30. Unbelievable, I didn't hear a gunshot or any of that kind of stuff. So I actually called the police, and I told them about the person I saw in the park. I said, there's a suspicious guy there. I don't know if it has anything to do with the case or not, but here's what I'm calling and telling you. And I never heard anything from him again. And it wasn't until about 9 months later I got a call from an FBI agent. Well, actually, I go take a step back. I got a call from G. Gordon Liddy. Called me, wanted me to be in. He heard about me somehow. Or, you know, I told a lot of people at parties about being at the park and Foster was probably dead there and all that. And so G. Gordon Liddy gives me a call, and he wants me to go on his radio show. And I said, no, I'm not interested in doing that. I really didn't think there was anything to the Foster story. So I didn't know all this underbelly of stuff was going on. All the time I'm just being my liberal self, who, you know, I was a Democrat at the time. I'm no longer one, but I was then. And I wasn't even paying attention. I had no idea that there was an investigation going on into his death by Robert Fisk. And after about 3 weeks after hearing from G. Gordon Liddy, I got a phone call from Ambrose Evans Pritchard, who wanted to do an article about me in the paper. And I kind of blew that off, too. Following day, I get a phone call from Larry Monroe, who's an FBI agent. And this FBI agent wants me to come to his office and interview me about Vince Foster. And I'm a little surprised because I didn't know there was anything going on with it. So I went in and talked to Larry Monroe. He did some very interesting things, like he had a bunch of photographs. First, they asked me to tell them everything I saw at the park, what was going on. They had me do it three or four times. I say they, because I was being watched by a camera, too. And then they showed me some photographs of a car. And I had said I knew what the car was. It was an old brown Honda. I said it was in its 80s, early 80s. I said it didn't look like a car a lawyer would drive, especially somebody at the White House, and that was always my impression of that car. Didn't look like a car that somebody who's a lawyer would drive. And so he started showing me these photographs of this car as I'm sitting in his office, and I'm like, you know, that's not the car that I saw. He goes, well, this is Mr. Foster's car. I said, well, the car I saw in the park with Arkansas license plates was not this car. This looks like the car maybe the guy was sitting in. And then he gets all huffy and throws the pictures down and starts cussing and swearing. And he calls in his buddy, who's this, was William Colombell, is like a 6'4" linebacker. And the guy walks in and stands over me, and and then Larry Monroe says, "Tell this guy what you just told me. Tell them that that's not Mr. Foster's car." And I said, "I don't know what car is Mr. Foster's. I'm just telling you that the car that I saw in that parking lot was not this car that you're telling me right now is Mr. Foster's car. I saw an older brown Honda." Well, they said to me, you know, as I got ready to leave, you know, don't go to the press about this. Don't talk about this anymore. It's really hurtful to the Foster family if you keep telling your story about, you know, being in the park and not seeing his car. So the next day, I get a phone call from G. Gordon Liddy again. He wants me to come in his radio show, and I said, I really can't. The FBI actually asked me not to do that. Now, I don't know what Liddy's role was in all this, if he even had one, but it was funny that he called me twice and really wanted me to come to the show. Anyway, about 3 weeks later, I get another phone call from the FBI. They want me to come in and re-interview me again. Now, in the meantime, I have some company coming to visit me, and I'm not aware of anything that's going on. I'm not aware I'm being surveilled. I'm not aware that people are following me because I'm being naive to it. I don't think there's anything to the Old Foster case as it is. So I prepare to go visit them, the FBI again at the headquarters down on the Pennsylvania Avenue. And the night before my interview, my in-laws were in town, so we took them down to the Vietnam Wall. So I take them down to the Vietnam Wall in this car that I just restored. It was a 504 Peugeot, and I'd restored it and had it repainted. And so, nice old classic car. So I took the family down in that car, and we parked it. And I had a couple words with the guy I went the back end. This guy pulls in, tries to block me from parking, and actually he tailgated me all the way down from my apartment pretty much. And I said, you know, gee, sir, I was going to park here, and he's giving me the F-bombs and all that kind of stuff. And so I parked the car, he parks his car, and I go walk down to the Vietnam Wall to show my family. And when we come back up, I see all these police cars, and make a long story short again, this guy who was pulled in behind me and actually followed me down from my apartment got out of his car with a couple other guys and beat my car with tire irons, and they broke my lights.
Okay, now. Need to take a break here. I'm sorry to cut you off.
That's all right.
I want you to continue, but we need to basically do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now joining the network. The subject under discussion is the death of White House Deputy Counsel Vincent Foster. We are talking to Patrick Knowlton, who was a witness at the scene at Fort Marcy Park, and is getting into basically the treatment he was given because what he was saying did not match the official story. So, Patrick, would you pick up again?
Okay, thank you, Mike. Yes, yeah, so we were my car was smashed. They put the tire irons through the radiator and all this stuff. And luckily, from my point of view, across the street parked was an ex a retired captain from the DC Police Department. He saw the whole thing take place. He takes down the guy's license plate number. So I have this car that's all smashed. It's actually totaled, really. Because it caught on fire with the wire harness caught on fire and all that. But next day I go to the FBI office to be re-interviewed, and I'm brought in, and they ask me the same questions again, what did I see at the park, and they wanted to show me the pictures of the car again, and they wanted to make sure that I was sure that this car that they're showing me in the pictures, which is Vince Foster's car, you know, the family car anyway, wanted to make sure that I was sure it wasn't that car I saw in the park, and I said, no, I tell you, I saw this brown Honda. So they take me over to the FBI headquarters and the laboratory at the FBI headquarters, and they have me meet this guy, Frederick Whitehurst, who was a whistleblower later on at the labs. And Whitehurst, you know, takes me through and gives me a brochure of the 1989 Honda, which was actually Foster's car, his kid's car. And I said, no, this is not it. He said, well, I want you to read this brochure and look it over good. And I said, I know this is not the car I saw. So he said, so he took me over to this wall that had thousands of color panels on it from 1932 up to 1995. And I went through and I pulled off the brown color, and it was a 1983 Honda color. And I said, this is the car I saw. This is the color it was. He went and pulled up a picture of it. I said, that's it right there. So after I got done with that, he called up Larry Monroe, and Monroe came back over to get me, and I went back over to the OIC's office. And then I got ready to leave, and I said, you know, my car got smashed last night, and I want to know if you can help me with it. And he says, well, what do you mean it got smashed? I said, well, my car was destroyed. This guy came couple guys got out of a car and smashed my windows and the lights and all that. And he said, well, do you have any information? I said, well, yeah, I have the license plate number that was given to me by the park police who were there investigating. And he goes, well, I can't do anything with that. You got to give me more information on the license plate. I said, really? That's what he said. I said, really? He goes, yeah, I can't do anything with that. He said, but you know what you can do for me? If you ever see that car that you saw at the park, take a picture and give me a call. Now, this is no lie. I walked back home what street were they on? They're on 14th Street in Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania Avenue. And I was at 2424. I walked 10 blocks back to my house and parked right in front of my house. And I'm not kidding you. Is this car. The brown Honda. It was unbelievable. And I took pictures of it, which I still have. I called the FBI. Of course, they didn't come. I told Larry Monroe, I said, I got the pictures. The car's in front of my place. If you come now, you can see it. Never came. So that evening, my fiance, who was my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, we were going to go out to dinner, so I called her on the phone. She lived in the same building, different apartment. And I said, you know, let's go to dinner. Let's go down to DuPont Circle. Let's try this new Italian restaurant that's out there. Now, anybody who's not from Washington will know that DuPont Circle is the predominant gay neighborhood of Washington, D.C. And it was then, and it still is. And so we wanted to go check out this restaurant. So about 7 o'clock, we start walking over to the restaurant. And lo and behold, I start getting harassed and fouled and intimidated and... it was a campaign that was really probably one of the most traumatic things, and I'm ahead of myself a little bit, one of the most traumatic things that ever happened to me. Now, there was like at least, in concert, at least 30 people, 30 men, big guys, like football player type guys, all dressed in suits, military type haircuts, and they would walk at me, staring down at me, and just, you know, really trying to put fear into me, and... my fiance at the time, my girlfriend at the time, is the one who noticed it, that I was being looked at. And I made a joke about, well, I must look good tonight, you know, because everybody's looking at me. And then I realized after a guy shouldered me in the sidewalk, when these are very wide sidewalks, there's no reason for anybody to come near me, that there was something strange going on. And we were followed. We never went to the restaurant, obviously. We were followed up into this neighborhood where I got a little panicky and decided to swing back around and come back home. Now, prior to other things, there's so many things happened during this time period. So prior to this harassment that took place and this following, I was visited by, so Ambrose Evans Pritchard, the guy who called me from London, did an article about me and about never being called by Ken Starr's grand jury to come in and testify. And so he wrote this article for the London Sunday Telegraph, which actually came out in America about 5 days after it was printed in London. And it was a pretty scathing article about Ken Starr and his lack of due diligence in trying to get me before the grand jury. So this is just prior to the night where I was harassed, and I left this out because there's so many things that did happen. FBI agent Russell Bransford came to my home and delivered a subpoena for me to appear before the Whitewater grand jury just based on Ambrose's article. And then I was harassed again. I was harassed for months, followed, and prior to me going to the grand jury, I think one of their tactic was for them to destabilize me, to make me look crazy. You know, I said a guy was staring at me at the park. Now I'm saying people are staring at me on the sidewalks, and they created this campaign of, you know, and every car that I saw that followed myself and my girlfriend or my lawyer and I were all Hondas. I mean, just the whole thing was bizarre. Yeah, can you imagine that, right?
You're absolutely right. The goal was they wanted you to go public saying, I'm being followed, I'm being spied on, to make you look like you were some kind of a kook. And that's something the FBI does, you know, to anybody that they're trying to discredit.
Yes, and that's exactly what they were trying to do to me. And luckily for me, I wasn't alone. And one of the things they were very brazen about, they're not hesitant about, you know, letting me know I was being followed, letting me know that, or my sister who was with me, or my girlfriend, or my lawyer, whoever was with me, they didn't care. They wanted that they were putting out there that they're going to get me. You know, they can get me anytime they want. And they did some pretty scary things, you know, faking having guns. They had a guy point his finger at me like he had a gun in his, you know, like it was a gun, and he pulled the trigger, that kind of stuff. It was really, really scary stuff, and it went on for quite a long time. But for the grand jury, and that was, you know, the grand jurors, I don't think the grand jurors in the Foster case had a clue of what was really going on, and they really made a fool of me in the grand jury, too, because they didn't want to. I started asking them questions. I was so irritated because when I told them the story about being harassed, they acted very disinterested. And I asked them, you know, what is this? Why come you acting so lax? I really wish that you would have done something. I called you. My lawyer called you. The FBI, you know, we called your office. You never responded. And they're like, well, we're not here to answer your questions. I said, yeah, you are. I'm an American citizen. You're here to answer my questions. I'm asking you, you know, who sent the FBI agent to my house and harassed me? You know, who, you know, I just wondered, I said, whose idea was it to subpoena me? What was that all about? Why was I being followed by the FBI and all this? And he's like, we don't have to answer those questions. So then they asked me to step out. This is one of the things that was very irritating. They asked me to step out of the grand jury room. This is day two of grand jury. And they were going to ask the grand jurors if they had any questions for me, but they didn't want me in the room. Now, I've been a grand juror before, so I know that whoever they're questioning stays in the room. They never walk out. But they had, Brett Kavanaugh had me leave the room. When I came back in, he said, well, we have five questions for you from the jury. Now, they had them written down on a piece of paper. And Brett Kavanaugh, who's now a judge, Judge Kavanaugh, second, what is he on the appeals court, U.S. appeals, he asked me, did the guy hand me a note? Did the guy talk to me? Did the guy approach me in any way? Did the guy have a gun? Did the guy touch your genitals? This is a question they asked me in front of the grand jurors. I looked at this guy and I said, what? I couldn't believe it. He said, well, we just want to follow up on some of the questions the grand jurors had. Now, I looked at these grand jurors. There's probably 26 of them in the room at the time. I could see that their face, they were in shock. Because I know one thing, they didn't come up with those questions.
Yeah.
It was set up by Brett Kavanaugh and John Bates, who were, again, both federal judges now, the bench for life. But my story can be found, and actually, if your listeners are interested, at FBICoverUp.com, at our website, we have the whole video. It's a 22-minute video. It talks all about the harassment. It's on the street. It's actually pretty dynamic. It's done professionally, so it's me in the video, and I tell the story, and it's... It brings it all pretty much to life. And if they want to go to the FBI cover-up, then hyphen between cover and up.com, it's...
Good, because that's what I did wrong. Okay.
Yeah, you have to use the hyphen in the FBI cover, hyphen up, yeah. And that'll get you onto the site. And it's right on the homepage. Homepage has a picture of Hillary, Vince, Ken Starr, myself, John Clark, my lawyer, and our researcher and friend, Hugh Turley, who's done an incredible job.
Yes, he has.
And of course, you, Mike, I want to thank you, too. You've had our back the whole time, and I really appreciate that. I think it's you do a great service and for our country, and I appreciate that. You've been with us the whole way, pretty much, so I have to thank you.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time. It really has. And it's, like I said, I'm very glad that Donald Trump has now made all of these Clinton scandals current events again.
Yeah, but he's backed off from now too a little bit. He's taking some heat, so you know, but it was a great thing he brought it up in the way he did it. And you know, I guess, you know, he has to watch himself. If he wants to get in the office, I guess he's going to try to be careful. But you know, it was great of him to bring him up. But I don't think he's done. I think there's a few more things he's probably going to throw out.
I don't think he's done either. What he's doing is he's walking a very fine line. He's trying to judge what are the voters ready to hear and what are they still in denial about. Because the art of being a rabble-rouser is knowing what the rabble is ready to listen to and not pushing so hard that you trigger a defense mechanism and denial and the rest of it. And we've talked about that before. We're coming up here on a 3-minute commercial. We're talking with Patrick Knowlton when we come on back. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, and we'll have more to talk about.
FoodForLiberty.com sells high-quality storable foods from Numana. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or an outdoor sports enthusiast, FoodForLiberty.com has your prepackaged single-serve packs or kits for the entire family. Numana is known for high-quality, great-tasting, GMO-free, super nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. With a 25-year shelf life, you can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. Right now, FoodForLiberty.com is offering a special gift, a heavy-duty Survivor dry storage box designed for extreme bug-out conditions. This storage box is built to last, includes compass, signaling mirror, and is yours free with a $50 order. Go to FoodForLiberty.com right now and pick up your quality storable foods from Numana. To get the Survivor dry storage box, use promo code Liberty. It makes good sense to be prepared. Go to FoodForLiberty.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack and was told I'd be on disability for the rest of my life. What did I do? I created Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And before we get back to our guest, Patrick Knowlton, I've been asked to announce by our control room the archive servers, the podcast, the brand new RBN podcast system is up, but they're upgrading the servers. So they're down for the moment, but they will be running again within the hour, which means you'll be able to log on in and hear the aftermath of this show. Of course, if you're listening to me now, there isn't much reason to have to actually do that. So we're talking with Patrick Knowlton, and before I give the microphone back, there's two comments I want to make. First of all, you're talking about in the older brown Honda that was not Vince Foster's taupe Honda. There were wine coolers in the back, and that's rather interesting because in the original report on the condition of Foster's body, it was reported there was a vomit stain mixed with red wine on his shoulder. And, of course, that sort of went away in the official report, and it raises the possibility that one of the real killers actually puked on the body, which is kind of an image there that's we're going to get a giggle out of. But more than that, when you're talking about Frederick Whitehurst, Whitehurst actually at one point went public saying that the FBI's crime lab altered results to favor the prosecution, the official story. He was demoted as head of the lab and put over in the paint chip lab at that point. But as a result of Whitehurst's blowing the whistle, quite a few cases that had been tried using evidence from the FBI's lab had to be retried, and a lot of people turned out to have been wrongfully imprisoned here. So absolutely, we're going right. to grab a quick phone call. Jeff in Idaho. Jeff, do you have a question for Patrick?
Hi, Michael. I was just listening on your stuff, and what I would do is, since Ken Starr was the Lolita Express, in 2007 or so, for the one guy and this Ken Starr stuff, with what your guest is talking about, why don't you do a Quo Warranto, since all this stuff is being drug up again, and try and get Ken Starr disbarred? You know what I'm saying?
Well, that would be a really good idea. I don't know what the statute of limitations would be on that, but you need to understand where Ken Starr came from in his background, because when Ronald Reagan was president, his attorney general, William French Smith, changed the rules to allow the CIA to engage with drug smugglers as part of intelligence operations without having to report them to the Drug Enforcement Administration. WAGs were calling it the CIA's license to smuggle. And William French Smith's assistant, while this was all going down, was a very young Ken Starr. And so he knew about all the CIA drug smuggling that was going into Bill Clinton's Arkansas.
And he
knew all about it. And that's why Ken Starr's job was to draw the attention of the American people away from this scandal of government-sanctioned drug running and gun running and distract us all with the blue dress and a tawdry sex scandal.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, if you could look at the statute of limitations, because the Quo Warranto case, I mean, that was paid with public funds, and it shows that he actually misled the investigation.
Yeah, there's probably no statute on that, actually.
Thanks, guys. That's all I got.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
Well,
that's
a good point. I mean, Ken Starr could be barred from many things, even his latest fiasco with Jeffrey Epstein and those shenanigans with those teenage girls that they were. Ken Starr defended Jeffrey Epstein. Do you know who Jeffrey Epstein is?
Oh, yeah, I know who Jeff Epstein is. Yeah. He's got his little Caribbean island palace. And
Bill Clinton spends time in,
And, you know, what's really amazing, all these people who took advantage of Jeff Epstein's little Lolita Express and his little pleasure palace in the Caribbean, they had to know that Epstein is going to wire the place and is going to have material with which he can blackmail them in the future, and they still went ahead and did it. Talk about a lack of judgment in these people.
Yeah, Dershowitz, they claim, and some movie star, too. I can't remember his name, but somebody else.
Oh, I'm sure there were a lot of people down there. One of the princes.
Yeah, it could be endless stuff. It's but there's bigger fish. There's murders that get covered up, and they bring up the sex scandals and these money scandals, but there's always bigger things that they don't focus on.
Oh, it's always a limited hangout, and that's what Ken Starr... When he took over from Robert Fisk, Ken Starr's job was to protect the secret of CIA drug running and the links between that and the Clintons. We have to take a four-minute commercial break. We'll be back with Patrick Knowlton after these few words.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
For the most amazing, calming, brain-stabilizing, blood sugar, and natural addiction-breaking formula, try CalMind. Anxiety melts, panic is gone, sleep is restful, and you'll stay calm during stress. Better than booze, mind-altering drugs, or anti-anxiety, antidepressant, toxic medications, CalMind lubricates your mind so you'll sail through the day effortlessly. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com and listen to the NutriMedical Report on GCN with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
When all this twist is steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what's really
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're talking with Patrick Knowlton, who was a witness to the crime scene of the Vince Foster death. His story does not line up with the official story. He was subjected to all kinds of harassment, very obvious signs of a cover-up. We've just posted a link to his webpage and the video at whatreallyhappened.com. And, of course, if you look up in the top menu of the main page, there's my own article about Vince Foster with a lot more information to share with you. We've got a couple of calls waiting online. Roseanne in North Carolina, aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. First of all, I'd like to thank Patrick for standing tall and not backing down to the FBI's intimidation. It is so appreciated, and the fact that you're coming out and just you keep on telling the truth, whether they like it or not. And Michael, thanks. I want to thank you because, honest to God, without your show and without a sense of understanding reality because of what they keep on throwing at us every day, I think I would probably lost my mind by now. My question to you is, you guys, it's already kind of come to the point to where we see everything's been corrupted. There's nobody to tell. So no matter how bad things get, there's nobody to tell. And nobody will do anything. At this point, I don't understand what to do anymore. to make the herd stampede to take our country back.
Okay, Patrick, you want to answer that, and then I'll have a comment.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, there has to come a time where we as a society need to just stand up to this authority and to this press that is brainwashing not only these young children, but people who are just naive to the truth. I mean, there are people still glued to the news every night believing that what they're hearing is the truth. I don't know if there's a real answer to this or not. I just think that we need to, people like myself and Michael and the caller just asked the question, we need to really get our neighbors and people involved in what is the truth and how do we get the truth out. I mean, shows like this right here are a great venue for us. And I think as the papers, as the newspapers fall out and I think people are stopping watching the news, I think the Internet's going to be the place where we can really depend on getting the truth out. That's my hope. And I hope it's not been infiltrated already by the government, but God only knows. I mean, I'm sure it has, but...
Yeah, there are some places on the Internet that very clearly are under the control of the government. They're trying to take control of it the way they took control of the corporate media with Operation Mockingbird and various other programs.
Right.
There are simply too many of us out here telling the truth. Current polls are showing that trust and confidence in the corporate media and the government are at all-time record lows, from which we may deduce that, in point of fact, truth is winning out. And if you want to look for a parallel, go back and study the Soviet Union prior to its collapse, when the people started putting together an ad hoc network of fax machines called the Samizdat that they used to share stories about the government lies until the public trust and reliance on the government simply collapsed and the government collapsed with it. And I think that's the best possible outcome of where we are right now, just the federal government and the Federal Reserve just collapsing from their own rotten corruption. And Roseanne, you're absolutely right. For 22 years, I've been waiting for anybody in the government to stand up and do the right thing. But they're all either corrupted or they're simply too afraid to speak out, especially if you look at that long list of dead bodies behind the Clintons' rise to power and wealth, which includes, obviously, Vince Foster. But, getting the word on out there, this is a call to Rivero's Rangers. Grab that video from Patrick Knowlton's website and post it to all your social media everywhere and just get that out there.
And quick thing.
Sure.
I went to go, I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. The Beast came to Raleigh last week. I can't stand her, but I had to go into the belly of the Beast because I had to see, you know, for my own eyes that the media was lying to me. And sure as heck, their whole audience, they were 2,000 tops, and that's with media. And I went and took a bunch of pictures around the place they were at, and it was such smoke and mirrors. And it looked full, but if you got to a certain angle, you could see all the no man's land and all the space. They're trying to convince us everybody's in love with this woman, and yeah. I've got the pictures to prove it. So
send them
that
to me.
Not.
Send
you know,
them to me.
The thing, Roseanne, is that you know, these Hillary town halls pop up, and all these Hillary going to go speak here and there. I never get notice about that. I mean. They never tell us where she's going to be, and all of a sudden she pops up and they show a crowd. Well, is the crowd for her? Is the crowd for her? I don't know who the crowd's for, but and it's not a big crowd either. But I mean, it's
well, they mentioned it on the news, the local news, and that on the radio. So that's how I knew. Took a day off, half a day off work, and went, and I don't know. I just I protested for a few hours before I went in. Then I had to change my shirt because I had a Benghazi shirt on. So I changed it and went and sat in line and got right in. I think it took only 15 minutes, and I registered as Ivana Tinkle. So I'm laughing that now she's inundating me with emails for donations to dear Ivana Tinkle.
Yeah, send her $2.
And it makes me giggle every time I see it. So anyway, boys, thank you so much for all that you do.
Yep.
Keep it up.
Thank you for supporting us. Thank you.
Thank you,
okay,
Roseanne.
Mike.
That was enjoyable.
Network.
I'm sorry?
I said support Mike's network.
Yes, absolutely. Republic Broadcasting, support our show, support our website and our server, because we're looking at a coup d'etat by Hillary and her people. And it is a truism that those who are willing to do anything to seize power will be willing to do anything with it once they get it. Let's go back to the phones here. Go ahead.
I want to inform your listeners that it's a great possibility that once she is in office, which I think is probably inevitable, that Chelsea will be going after the Wiener seat in New York.
She's
she moved into that neighborhood. I think that that's the move. She'll be a House of Rep for New York City within the next 3 years.
I absolutely agree with you. Where the nation is being ruled by two dynastic families, the Bushes and the Clintons, who simply hand the White House off back and forth. And that's not what America is supposed to be. Okay, we're going to go back to the phones. Jason in Massachusetts, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys, how are you? So, Michael, I kept your show for at least an hour on my commute. I just want to say, not to waste your time, after listening to Dr. Bill Deagle, and you do a great job. I'm relatively new to you, and thank you so much for your program existence.
Well, thank you very much for the kind words.
Excellent. So, I just tuned in about 15 minutes ago. I'm not sure who your guest is, but your guest is awesome. And I just have to say a couple things. I'm going to make a statement, and then I'm going to ask a question. The statement is, how in the world, and I've been waking up, and it's a continuous process, as I'm sure you guys know, for about 10 years. I'm 32 years old in liberal Massachusetts, raised by Democrats, and anyone, in my opinion, who votes for Hillary Clinton needs to repent, repent, repent now, because you are voting for literally the Jezebel spirit in America that is going to be the death knell to this country. Obama did a great job at digging the soft ground for the coffin that will eventually be America if Hillary gets elected. And so that's my rhetoric, and I'm sure your audience knows how far I could take that. So my question is, how, in God's name, with the amount of free media on the internet, so far free internet, who knows how long that's going to last, but are people still brainwashed? And you and I know the answer, but I really wanted to just ask that question to maybe spur the conversation at the end of your show. I mean, come on, folks. I'm voting for Trump 100%. I support him. He's been saying the exact same thing for 30 years about our international trade deals that have gutted this country.
I got to agree with that.
And I'll just end it with this. I don't think he knows fully, and maybe he does and just doesn't share it. I don't think he knows fully about the satanic agenda and what is really behind globalism. I think he just sees, which is the suture around our neck, which is the economic strangulation of these foreign trade deals. How anyone could vote for this filth, Clinton, at this point, with all the free information that's out there and shows like this, just baffles me. And sorry for ranting. I'll take my response off the air. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, Jason, the first response is our guest is Patrick Knowlton, who is a witness to the crime scene where Vince Foster's body was dropped off. Second, we're not really sure how many people are actually voting for Hillary Clinton. There are already lawsuits in Ohio, two in California, over massive election rigging. We keep hearing comments from people like Roseanne who go to Hillary's events and there's hardly anybody there while Donald Trump is filling up these sports venues. And so
who's there is the police protecting her.
Yeah.
And Roseanne was saying there's 2,000 cops and nobody there, right?
The support for Hillary is maybe mostly illusion. It may just not be there. It's actually a coup d'etat going on there.
Yeah.
Now, as far as Donald Trump, my one criticism of him is he is a reactionary president. If our current political establishment were doing their job, his campaign this year would be a footnote. But people are tired of business as usual, they're tired of politics as usual, and they're bringing in somebody who truly is an outsider. But there's a downside to that. Donald Trump is coming into national politics rather naive. Too much of his worldview is based
That's
on
true.
What he has seen on corporate news. And in many ways, he's as naive as Jimmy Carter was coming in. And Jimmy Carter was unprepared for the viciousness and underhandedness of the people who were opposed to him in Washington, D.C. And I think Trump is going to be the same. I think he may be very unpleasantly surprised at the GOP convention.
Yeah, you are right on the money there, too. That's a great insight. Very good insight, I'll say. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're going to grab one.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we're going to grab one more phone call, and that's Fred in Iowa. Aloha, Fred. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. You're on the air.
Okay. Well, it's easy to say, but it's the truth what I'm saying. Mike, you're doing one hell of a fabulous job. And Patrick, you're one of the unsung heroes. And there's people like you, thank God for it.
Thank you very much, Fred.
And face the danger to not only to themselves, but their family, to get the truth out. But because of normalcy bias, you know, it's hard to say too much because it just really shakes people up. But I would hope that people would watch Mike's show, today's show again, and analyze everything that's said, especially what Mike said, that he reveals so much truth, and so where people can understand if they listen intently and review it. Anyhow, that's all I've got to say. Thank God for Mike and you, people like you.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank All right, thank you, Fred. We're going to let you go here, and we're going to close the phone lines for the rest of the program. We really only have about 10 minutes left here. So, Patrick, we've got a link to your website. We've got your video out there. I'm hoping all of our listeners are going to copy off that webpage video and just send them around to everybody because we have to shout down all these hired cyber warriors. I mean, one of Hillary Clinton's
packs. Don't you find it amazing that all these stories about suicide are coming up? All these people are like these. They're recycling the Ron Kessler story and the Marinka Pushka. What's her name?
I'm blanking on that one right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, me too. That's okay.
The dead bodies list is growing. We've got that guy, John Ash, former UN official, about to face trial for corruption that involved a known Clinton bagman, and all of a sudden he has a heart attack. No, wait, that was yesterday. He accidentally crushed his own larynx in a weightlifting accident.
But I want to say something you mentioned earlier before the last break, the four-minute break. From Fisk to Starr, when Fisk was outed and then Starr was put in, I think your listeners should know that it was the same FBI agents involved in reinvestigating the Foster death. It was Russell Bransford, Bill Columbell, Larry Monroe, Jim Clement, Coy Copeland. And Jim Clement and Coy Copeland, by the way, were quoted in this Ron Kessler book, which is full of lies, by the way, if anybody's read his book. He claims that, Kessler claims that Clement and Copeland told him that a week before Vince Foster's death, murder, that she belittled him in a meeting. She belittled Vince in a meeting in front of all the staff. Well, 2 weeks before his death, Hillary was in Asia.
Hawaii.
And then in Hawaii. And she wasn't anywhere near Vince. There was no teleconference, none of that stuff. And these two agents, this is to show you how much the FBI will lie, say that they were told that by people they interviewed. Well, I've read more than 20,000 documents related to Foster's death. I've never come across anyone who said she belittled him, she put him down, she did anything to Foster except for support him. And, you know,
even if she did, it's not like Foster was trapped there. Suicide
this guy
is
was
something.
A tough guy. He was a tough guy. He was a tough guy, and he could resign. He was a thug. He was really a thug, I think, you know, tell you the truth.
And he could resign. He didn't have to sit there and take
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Suicide is something
tough,
that people do when they feel hopelessly trapped.
He was tough.
Yes.
He wasn't a weak guy. He held on to some big contracts in that law firm. We're talking about Procter & Gamble. You're talking about, at the time, it was Hasbro Toys and all these huge companies. This guy's not some lightweight. You don't turn something over to somebody like that what's the other company that they represent? You know, if you go to Arkansas, I don't know if anybody's been to Little Rock, but it's an eye-opener If you haven't been there, take a trip. It's full of law firms. These
yes.
law firms handle some of the biggest companies in our country, and even overseas.
And, you know, and again, you know, suicide is something that is a solution for people who feel they are hopelessly trapped in a particular circumstance. That wasn't Foster. He was free to resign at any time.
Absolutely.
And the indications are that he actually was planning to resign the day after his body was found. And I think it was over the fraudulent presidential blind trust, which we know was fraudulent from testimony that came out during the Whitewater hearings. And Foster may have decided he didn't want to sign those documents because if the fraud were exposed, he would be the one to go to jail. And so he was going to resign.
Who knows?
Yeah. All right, we got to take a 3-minute commercial break. We'll be back with Patrick Knowlton finishing up the show after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Humidity, odors, and air pollutants are building in your basement and crawl space, turning your home into an uncomfortable, unhealthy environment. Stop fighting this yearly battle. Get a Wave moisture control unit like Kathy did.
The smell is gone and the basement is now clean and livable. We created a very nice room in the basement and we love being able to spend time there.
Listen to what Paul had to say.
I have COPD and restricted airway disease. Since I put this ventilation unit in, it's made an incredible difference in my breathing and the air quality in only 3 weeks. It has amazed me. My son has asthma and lives in our finished basement. He has stopped coughing already.
Unlike dehumidifiers, Wave units are energy efficient, have no buckets of water, and will expel harmful gases and pollutants. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 888-618-WAVE. That's 888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the last segment of our program today. We're talking with Patrick Knowlton. And by the way, one of our very alert listeners emailed in. The name was Marinka Peshman. Who is author of the book, Following Orders, The Death of White Foster, Clinton White House Lawyer.
Yeah. Well, pretty bad book. Please don't read it.
Okay.
All right. I know she's sensitive, Marinka. Sorry, but it's a pretty bad read. She has none of the facts right. But I hope that your listeners will go to our website. I really do. There's letters from Judge Butzner and Faye and Santel, who hired Ken Starr, at our website that tell you exactly what their position was with Ken Starr and why they attached our 20-page addendum, which countered every fact or every statement Ken Starr made. And I think that your listeners would probably get a lot out of reading that 20-page addendum. Our book that we wrote years ago is up there for
free. When they distributed the final report, they didn't include the addendum. They just threw it in the trash.
Yeah, no, the addendum the addendum's there. It's there.
Okay.
In several university libraries, but it was never reported by the press. But our book is there. All the evidence for free. Just download it or go read it online. It's there. This has never been about money for us. It's about truth.
Yes.
And I just hope that your listeners will take some time and go through our site. But most of all, I hope that they will continue to support you and spread the word about your work that you've done, the sacrifices you've made, Michael. I appreciate it. You know, you put your neck on the line, too. I know that. And there's very few people who will do what you've done and what I've done. So I appreciate the camaraderie that we have, and I thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the comments here. And, you know, we get a lot of emails from Hillary Clinton's defenders. Oh, you're just out there for the money. You're selling advertising. You're selling books,
right.
Which is silly because I don't have a book out yet. I can't get time to work on it. But the reality is everybody who's ever crossed paths with the Clintons and challenged the official story, we have all suffered great financial harm.
Right.
We don't have the lives we would have had otherwise. There have been death threats. Some people have, in fact, been killed trying to speak truth to power. And that's just an ugly reality of the nation that we live in right now. And the main reason that I keep doing what I'm doing is I think it's the highest moral imperative that we leave to the next generation a better nation than that which was left to us. And sadly, my generation has failed that. And so we're still out there trying to basically put this nation back on track so that the next generation has a nation that works for them.
I hope so. I pray for that. I really do. And I hope you'll have me back on your show. I've actually put together a childhood memoir. We'll give people a reason why, explain why I fought the FBI and the government the way I did. And it's going to be coming out probably in the next couple of months. It's called If You Allow Me to Come Back on Your Show.
Of course.
I would love to do that and talk about it. I'll send you a copy of it in advance.
Okay.
You can take a look through it. But I try not to walk on my soul is the title, and it's about my childhood, and I think people might find it interesting, and I think they'll figure out why I stood my ground when it came to this Vince Foster case.
When the book is available, we'll gladly have you back anytime here. And again, please go to my website, go to Patrick's website, copy the information off, and just put it everywhere you can, social media, emails to friends, and get it on out there. Because if we're all activists for the truth, then it doesn't matter how hard Hillary's million-dollar cyber warriors work. They can't shout us all down.
And there's Twitter, music. Too, don't forget. It's on Twitter. People
and
love
Twitter.
That.
Okay,
thank
that's
you, Michael,
the music.
So much.
Thank you very much. We're going to let Patrick go here, and we'll be back tomorrow here on the Republic Broadcasting Network with Leon Sue and Claire on Friday. So, aloha, America.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocholine therapist, Remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.